chapter 12. John chapter 12. I want to read verse 23 through 27. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." We find here in this 27th verse words and wording that gets our attention. I was thinking the words of this 26th verse, they flow like many of the verses we find coming from the Apostle Paul. And I thought to myself, well, the similarity between this verse and the way the words flow and the words that Paul many times wrote reveal one thing to us. Reveals to us that the Bible has one author. It's the Word of God. Many human instruments were used in giving us the Word, but God is the author. And so the similarities that we find here in the words of Christ, the way they're laid out, relationship to some of the things we read from Paul or maybe Peter, reveals to us this is the Word of God. And this 26th verse tells us, if any man serve me, if anyone would serve me, will serve me, let him follow me. If any man follow me, where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We want to serve the Lord, we have to follow the Lord. If we follow the Lord, we'll be where he is. If we'll serve the Lord, follow the Lord, be where he is, the promise is in verse 26 that God the Father will honor us, bless us. I thought about what is implied by, if you follow me, you'll be where I am. Well, I thought there could be a practical application, even in the day and time in which Christ was on this earth. If you follow Jesus during these days, you're going to find yourself where he is. And I wondered, could it be speaking about heaven? If we follow the Lord and we're disciples of the Lord, one day we'll be where he is, which is heaven. Both of those things can be seen as being true. But I think the real emphasis of this thought in verse number 26 is the principle. If you want to be where Jesus is, wherever that is, if you want to be where Jesus is, you have to serve Jesus. If you serve yourself, if you serve the world, if you serve the lusts and the prides of life, you're not going to find yourself where Jesus is. If you follow anybody else other than Jesus, you're not going to be where Jesus is. If you want to be where Jesus is, you have to follow him. And it's a day in and day out task. We heard about our relationship with God. He's not a fire escape. He's not a God that we call upon when we have troubles or trials or we need him. But he's a God we're supposed to have a relationship with, a connection to, not just when we need him, but every single day, every hour of every day, every month of the year. If you want to be where Jesus is, you got to have a relationship with him, a day in and day out relationship with him. And to be where Jesus is, you have to follow him. You have to follow him. There's three things we want to bring out in our message this morning about following Christ. Following Christ requires submission to his teaching. Following Christ requires devotion to his service. And following Christ requires the study of his life. The study of his life. Submission to his teaching, devotion to his service, study of his life. Jesus Christ said he came as a light into a dark world. He came with the light of truth. The light of the gospel. He was the light. The Jews were already here. The Jews were here with their rules and their regulations, and the Jews were here with the law. The Jews were here with their teachings, but their presence only brought darkness. Only brought darkness. The Greeks were here. They were the people of intelligence. They were the people of learning. They were the people of higher thinking. In our modern terms, we would say they were the educated. The ones who figured out everything and had their philosophies and their way of thinking. But all of their philosophy and all of their thinking, again, only caused darkness. But Jesus came. He was light in a dark world. He brought light into the darkness of this world. And he brought light into the darkness of this world by his teaching. By his teaching. Jesus Christ can be said first and foremost, at least in the top three things you want to look at concerning why he came, he was a teacher. He came to teach. He lived upon this earth a little over 33 years. 30 of those years, he was a son. 30 of those years, he was raised up in his parents' home. 30 of those years, he kept all the requirements that were placed upon him perfectly. 3 of those years was his public ministry. All of what we find in the Gospels, and all that springs from the Gospels that we find in the Epistles, came to us during those 3 years when Jesus Christ was a teacher. He was a teacher. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he, Jesus, taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished at what he was saying. He spoke as one with all authority. He taught them. He taught them as one who had great authority, unlike the scribes. In Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. By much people, we're told there was thousands. Thousands. As he was preparing to feed this great multitude of 5,000 plus women and children. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And look at what Jesus did. Thousands of people. Thousands of opportunities. He was moved with compassion upon these thousands of people. And what did he do for these thousands of people? He taught them. He taught them. Because one of the principal reasons Christ came was to bring light. A principal reason he came was to be a teacher. He is called a teacher often in Scripture, often in the Gospels. We find him described, sometimes it is translated master, but not meaning Lord or owner, as it does in some places. But the word master sometimes comes from a word that means teacher. A teacher. And it says in that 34th verse, he began to teach them many things. Luke chapter 4. Luke, the fourth chapter, This is immediately following the devil's tempting him. And in verse 14 and 15, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. What's it say he did in verse 15? He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. He taught. And over and over and over again, he impressed those that he taught. Over and over again, they saw he was one who spoke and taught with authority. Over and over again, the people were amazed at the words that Jesus Christ spoke. And he taught in their synagogues. In chapter 5, verse 3 of Luke. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 2. Nicodemus, well-educated, very religious man amongst the Jews, is the principal figure in this text. Concerning Nicodemus, it says, "The same came to Jesus by night." Nicodemus, probably not to be detected, probably not to draw too much of a notice. He went to see Jesus by night. And he said in verse number 2 to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know," one thing Nicodemus knew, and he was right on, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God." We know you're a teacher come from God. No man, no mere individual, no mere human could do the things that you did and are doing. But the things that he did and the things he was doing was not to draw attention to the things he was doing, but was to give him accreditation as a teacher sent from God. It was to accredit him as being sent from God. Chapter 13 of John, John 13, verse 13. "You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so am I." The word master here in verse 13 is a word that means instructor or teacher. So Jesus says, "You call me a teacher. You call me teacher. You call me Lord. And you do well in calling me teacher and Lord." Then he plainly says in verse number 13, "For so I am." I am the Lord. I am your master. The master of all things. I am come, a teacher. Matthew 23. Verse 10, Christ speaking, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Here's again is an example where we see in the word master, the meaning of the word is guide or teacher. There is one who is our teacher, even Jesus Christ. We're living in the day and time where teaching is despised. We're living in the day and time where the expounding of God's word, the teaching of God's word, the holding of the study of God's word is despised. It's dull, it's boring. People want something new. They want something different. They want something stimulated. They want something exciting. They want something besides just reading and learning and studying the Word of God. But one of the reasons Jesus Christ came was to teach. And then to set his church out to be teachers of the word, teachers of truth, and to serve Christ and to be a follower of Christ, we must submit to his teaching. Because that's one of the principal reasons why he came. Every single Sunday we come together and we hold Sunday school classes. Never anything different, never any change. Just the teaching of God's word. People sometimes say, well, we've heard it all, we know it all. Can't we do something different? Not if we want to follow Christ. To follow Christ, to serve Christ, we need to be setting under his word, setting under his teaching, and to be a follower of Christ according to our text, we must be in submission to his teaching. Second of all today, to serve Christ, to be a follower of Christ, not only must there be a submission to his teaching, there must be a devotion to his service. There must be a devoutness to our serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you devoted to Jesus Christ? Is your life a testimony? Is your life a declaration? I'm devoted to Jesus Christ. I have an undivided allegiance to Christ in every word. I have an undivided allegiance to Christ in every thought. I have an undivided allegiance to Christ in every action of mine. You want to serve Christ? You want to follow Christ? You must have a devotion to his service. It goes back, and we've seen this thought recently and many times over. Goes back to that question Jesus said, why call me Master, Master? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you want to serve me, you want to follow me, you got to do more than just call me Lord. You must be devoted to my service as your Lord. Day in and day out, every single day, every choice you make during the day must be made in consideration to what the Lord would have you to do. What's the Lord's will? What's pleasing to the Lord? We will claim to be a Christian. We will faithfully come to church and give evidence to all. See, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I'm in church. But you can claim to be a Christian, you can be in church every single Sunday and not be devoted to Christ. Amen. To be a follower, to be a servant of Christ, you must be devoted to Christ. And where do our devotions lie this morning? It's a personal question. But be honest with yourself. Are your devotions to yourself? What you want, what pleases yourself? Are your devotions to another human being? Somebody you think you love or you care for? Are your devotions in Christ? Are you devoted to his service? In the book of Jude, the 4th verse, Jude, verse 4. We know the charge of verse 3. Earnestly contending for the faith once delivered. Verse 4, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered because or four, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He may be describing Christians. He may be describing religious folks. He may be describing those who thought of themselves very highly, spiritually, religiously. Maybe that others would have thought of highly. But he says they deny the Lord God, and he double emphasizes this. They deny the Lord God, and they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not devoted to God. They're not devoted to Jesus. They're not devoted to truth. They are crept in unawares, before ordained to this condemnation. They're ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They deny the Lord God. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't serve the Lord. You can't be a follower of Christ while you deny the Lord, the Lordship, while you deny the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have noticed recently also, the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus while he was still named Saul. And on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Jesus responded, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest me." And what does it say, I think, in that sixth verse? You know. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Paul was going to serve the Lord. Paul was going to follow the Lord. Paul was going to find himself where the Lord was. And he immediately, upon his salvation, displayed a devotion to his service, a devotion to Christ. There's evidence of real salvation when we become a new creature and our devotions change and they become singular. They become a devotion to Jesus Christ. There's a third thing that's necessary to serve the Lord. There's a third thing necessary in order to follow Him, to be where He is. Must be a submission to His teaching and what He taught. Where do you find all of that? In the Bible. There must be a devotion to His service. But to serve Him and to follow Him and to be where He is, I believe a third thing we must do is study the life of Jesus Christ. We think the Bible exists just to teach us, just to give us doctrine. There are no practical, there are no physical, there are no demonstrations on the outward man found in the scriptures. We just cast all of those things aside. But to serve Christ and to follow Christ, we must study the life of Christ. And you might not yet be grasping what I'm saying. I'm saying we must be submitted to His teachings. We must be devoted to serving Him, devoted to His service. I'm not talking about His teachings. I'm not talking about what He said while He was here. I'm talking about studying His life, how Jesus lived, And a lot of people don't even realize Jesus lived a very hard life, a very demanding life. He took on the form of the flesh. And I thought about this. Really, the first evidence we have of the life of Jesus Christ was when his parents took him to church. Young people, Jesus had to go to church. His parents took him to church. And they didn't get in a car and go to church comfortably in a few moments' time. But they would have had to travel by foot in caravans, most likely for safety reasons, probably taking days to get to the temple for worship. But Jesus was taken to church. We find him in church, using the term loosely, of course, as it applies to the temple and his time. And we find him teaching the elders. And yes, I believe he was being taught. He'd gone there at 12 years of age because that's when they were taken and dedicated to God. Basically, that's when a Jewish boy became a man. And there were certain things that had to be done. There were certain things that had to be followed. Certain things that Jesus himself had to be taught as part of the Jewish traditions and customs. And what a lot of people don't find and don't understand in Jesus Christ, we find an exemplary life of suffering. Read between the lines. I'll give you that advice maybe once and only now. Look at not just what Jesus taught, what the teachings of Scripture are. Go beyond just being devoted to him as your Lord. But study the life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived a hard life. In those 3 years of his public ministry, look at a Bible map. All the territory he covered. And all of that he covered by foot. Jesus Christ got weary. He got tired. He needed to rest. There were times he was exhausted. If you want to serve Christ, and if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be submissive to his teachings and what he taught. You must be devoted to his service. He's your Lord. He's our Lord. But you also need to study his life and follow the example. It was not all fun and games to Jesus Christ when he was here. He was about the Father's business. He was about doing the Father's business. He was about being in the center of God's will. So we're talking about serving him. We're talking about following him. We're talking about being where he is. We're during his life, where was Jesus? Always at the center of God's will. And that was a difficult road to travel many times. Do we even consider the life of Jesus Christ? With this emphasis in our day and time upon pleasure and fun and having a good time and always going and always doing, what do we find in the study of the life of Christ? And are we in any way, shape, or form following that example? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, consider him. Consider who? Consider Jesus Christ. Not just speaking about the crucifixion in verse number 2 of Hebrews 12, But he speaks in that third verse, consider Christ who endured such contradiction of sinners. During his life, he endured such contrariness, orneriness, opposition of sinners against him. 2 Timothy 3 tells us, you know the verse I'm going to pull out of chapter 3, verse 12. All that live, L-I-V-E, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Examine yourselves. Are you living a godly life? Well, are you suffering? Is your life and your lifestyle costing you anything? Well, his life and his lifestyle cost Christ a lot. Long before he went to the cross, he suffered. Long before he gave his life, he suffered at the hands of sinners. And he was the perfect Son. He was the perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the days of his life, in spite of being opposed, in spite of being fought against at every corner, Jesus Christ was found faithful. He's the exemplary life of suffering. If any man serve me, if any man follow me, he'll be where I am. To serve him and follow him, we must be submissive to his teaching. We must be devoted to his service. We must spend time studying his life. And is our life, our day-to-day life in application, is our life after the example of Jesus Christ? If not, then it's no wonder we don't find ourselves dwelling where Jesus is. If you're here today and you're lost, you know you're lost. Nobody has to tell you. Your own conscience has taught you. Your own flesh has taught you. You've never been saved. You want to be where Jesus is? Right now, you want to come into the presence of the Lord, spend the rest of your life living where Jesus is? You want to one day go to heaven to be where Jesus is? See yourself a sinner. Repent of your sins. In faith, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and your soul will be saved. If you're here and you know you're saved, but most of your life isn't being where Jesus is, what do you need to do to change that? Change that this morning. Let's stand.